God has sent you a preacher this morning, and I am here. And may God help me deliver faithfully His word. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a good question that you could discuss around the dinner table with your kids or your spouse or your friends. Is there anywhere in this life where you may be, where God is not with you? King David asked this question in one of his Psalms by writing, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence?" I mean, if I ascend to the highest place, to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the very lowest place I can imagine, my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall uphold me. Even wherever little Edmund may travel around and we know no idea where he's at, the Lord does. My dear friends, in the highest moments of your life, God is there. And even in the lowest points, in the brightest joys of life, and in the darkest tragedies, God is there with you. And in the most desolate of places, like the uttermost parts of the sea, or in a lonely, deserted place all alone, Jesus, like a good shepherd, is there, caring for you. He knows His sheep, where they are, what they need, how they're doing. He knows your physical needs, what they are, as well as your spiritual needs. And my friends, He provides and cares for them both. Whether you are in green pastures and laying beside still waters, or you're walking through the deepest of dark places, your shepherd is there with you. Whether you feel it or not, whether you believe it or not, God is faithful. He is with you, and He's for you. The disciples returned from their mission traveling through the various towns and villages throughout Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they were excited. They couldn't wait to get back and tell Jesus and all the others of their experiences, both the highs and the lows. They were also exhausted, taking care of the needs for others to their own neglect. They didn't even have time to eat themselves. And Jesus knew they needed a break. They needed some rest from the demands of ministry. They needed some alone time to be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Can you relate? Does life get crazy like that sometimes? But the demands of a broken world never rest. And instead of restful solitude, the disciples and Jesus were faced with a crowd of over 5,000 men, not even including the women and the children who needed care. It's true. There often is no rest for the weary. And you know what else? There's no rest for the sinner in us either. He's always demanding that his needs be taken care of, seeking his own interest, trying to satisfy his own appetites, and you know what? He is never satisfied. No sooner did the Red Sea close up on Pharaoh and his armies that the Israelites started grumbling against God that they had no food to eat and were hungry. In the face of God's mighty act of deliverance, delivering them from Egypt, Israel wanted to return to Egypt, where they at least had food on the table. What does our Lord do with such grumblers? He provides. And God on that day provided food from heaven to feed his people. And they ate, and they had more than enough, and their hunger was satisfied. Now we fast forward to Jesus and his disciples who find themselves among a sea of people who are hungry, needing both spiritual and physical care. And Jesus knew what they needed. And so what does he do? He starts teaching them many things. And then when the day is coming to an end, there are physical needs to take care of. But the disciples were not so willing, were they? I mean, the crowd was huge. It was dinner time. They wanted to be sent away so that they might fend for themselves and buy their own food on their own in the neighboring towns. I mean, let's be honest. Human sympathy only goes so far. Even the best intentions have their limitations. How on earth are we going to feed 5,000 men, including their families? Even if they had the money, it is doubtful they could even find enough bread to feed a crowd of that size. You can almost hear their grumbling, just like their forefathers in the desert. And just like Yahweh, feeding the Israelites with miraculous bread and from heaven in the wilderness, so too Jesus feeds the crowd of 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in the middle of nowhere. We're tempted to ask, how did he do it? Right? How did you do that, Jesus? How does Jesus multiply so little food to feed so many people? Well, you know what? We're not told how, are we? But we're told why. And we're told what he did. Looking upon the needy crowd, Jesus was moved with compassion. He was deeply moved as he looked upon them and saw them as they were. Needy. People who were in a desperate situation in need of care. They were like a flock of sheep without a shepherd, without guidance, without someone to provide for them. So what does Jesus do? He becomes their shepherd. Jesus takes the loaves of bread and the fish and he blesses them. And then he breaks bread and gives it to the disciples to give to the people. And we are told that all of them ate and were satisfied. They ate until they couldn't eat anymore. And even then, did you notice? There was more than enough. 12 baskets full of bread and fish left over. Isn't that how our Lord is? Always providing, always supplying above and beyond what is needed to care for the needs of the people. Our Lord's compassion and his care was more than enough for them. And my dear friends, they are more than enough for you. You know, there was a time when Jesus was hungry, remember? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness with the devil to turn the stones into bread to feed himself. And he was hungry. And there was nothing for him to eat. But Jesus wouldn't use his power as the Son of God to satisfy his own hunger. Because he hungered and thirsted for us. And he put his trust in the Word of God and for our salvation that he would accomplish one day upon a cross. I mean, Jesus came as the bread of life, living bread come down from heaven to feed sin-starved humanity with manna from heaven. He didn't come to feed himself. And when he did provide bread in the wilderness, he didn't use stones and rocks in that desolate place by the Sea of Galilee with his disciples to turn those rocks into bread. He simply multiplied what was already there. In other words, Jesus added to what was present to provide for what was needed. Doesn't he do the same for you? Doesn't he do the same thing with bread and wine? Simply adding himself to them, his body and his blood. He promises to be present with those things, and so he adds himself to bread and wine to feed you. To feed you life-giving self, himself, which, my friends, gives life to you. I mean, here's the rub, right? Jesus didn't come into this world to free us from our earthly sickness and hunger. I mean, all those who ate on that day in the wilderness, my friends, would hunger again. And all those who were healed of those illnesses would eventually close their eyes in death. There is no escape from that wage that is due every single sinner. You earned it, so did I. But the one who was blessing the bread on that day, before the crowd, is the very bread that has come down from heaven. Jesus giving his own flesh to die upon the cross of condemnation. The righteous branch of David. God took himself upon himself, your sin and mine, every sin that condemns you, so that standing alone before God, my friends, you and I have no excuse, no defense. We are found guilty before the righteous judge, but there's always a but with the gospel. But through Christ's offering of himself upon the cross, he has become your righteousness. And the sins that pay out death that you and I have earned, he takes upon himself. Christ, your Savior, who has had compassion on you and feeds you true forgiveness, gives life and salvation for you and everyone who eats of the living bread which comes down from heaven to you. Again, Mark doesn't tell us how Jesus fed 5,000 men with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He only tells us why. Moved deeply within with compassion over the sheep who were without a shepherd. Gut-wrenched over their neediness. And Mark tells us what he did. He took the bread and the fish, blessed them, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples to feed his sheep. You know, Jesus could have done it lots of different ways. He could have probably just created satisfied bellies just with a speaking word. Just like he calmed the wind and the sea, right? You know, our tendency, my friends, is to see when we look out upon crowds or this world or even ourselves or our family or our circumstances. Our tendency is to see limitations, the barriers, the obstacles, the impossibilities. We see the lack. Jesus sees the potential. We see the absence of resources, and Jesus sees the abundance of opportunity. We see the cost. Jesus sees the outcome. And like the disciples, we see a crowd. And we worry about the logistics and the potential problems and the general nuisance of having all of those people trampling all over the place, making a mess of everything. We see a small church up in the mountains. We wonder how it's going to survive. We see our sons and daughters leaving home, going off into this world. We wonder how they're going to make it. We're faced with medical reports and tests. And we wonder, where, God, are you in all of this? Jesus sees a world that is to die for, that he has died for. And he invites his disciples and us to view this world the same way, not as a pesky crowd, but a sheep with no shepherd. Lost, scattered, hurting, messed up. Sheep that will run after any shepherd, any boat, any Messiah who holds out some sort of promise to get them out of the current mess that they're in. That's what we need to repent of. Not seeing things with the eyes of faith on the one who came to save and deliver us. To repent of not seeing things through compassionate eyes of Jesus. And yet, what does Jesus do? He uses the means of bread and fish to feed hungry souls with the hands of others. For again, He is the bread from heaven that comes down to feed you even this very morning. Every hungry soul with the heavenly manna of His Word. He comes to give you what you need. And you know what? He uses the voice of another. He sends you a preacher to care for you this morning as His sheep. Because He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows how you're doing. He knows your struggles. He knows your fears. Knows what makes you anxious. What causes doubts. He knows His sheep. My dear friends, whether you are laying down in green pastures, walking through the darkest valley, either case, Jesus is with you, caring for you. And He even spreads a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He feeds you words of forgiveness and life. Provides a meal of bread and wine, His own body and blood to feed those hungry for food who can't provide and take care of themselves. Is that you qualify? He feeds you Himself. You who come this morning hungry, in need of forgiveness, in need of your faith to be strengthened, who need assurance of life. And salvation in the midst of a broken and desolate world. You need life and salvation. And so you who this morning say, that's me, come and be satisfied. For our Lord gives Himself to you this very morning and feeds you words of life so that you may never hunger or thirst again. In other words, your sins, all of them, are forgiven. For Jesus has taken them all away, and you know what? You can't have them back. Your death. Yes, even your death has been defeated. The promise to you is resurrection life. So as you travel through the valley of this life, my friends, you have nothing to fear. For your shepherd is with you. He's leading you. Out of the desolate places of this world into the fullness of His presence, where you will dwell forever in the fullness of joy. In the name of Jesus, amen.